Freedom and peace for all mankind. You're listening to the NASA Vending Machine, our walk through Apple TV's For All Mankind. I'm Jason Snell, joined, as always, out on the surface of Mars, so cold, by Dan Morin. Hello.
I really didn't want to pull a Gordo, Jason. Don't. I was hoping to have a suit.
Don't pull a Gordo. That's true. And maybe don't pull an Ed Baldwin, but we'll get to it.
We'll get there.
Season 5, Episode 2, Hard 6, in which dice games come to Mars. Now, so Lee, we left last week with Lee under arrest for space murder.
It's still just murder, Jason. It's, even right, in space.
And it's Mars murder, really, I guess. Because all planets are in space. We established this. Anyway, they do a perp walk for Lee. I love this scene because what it does is it shows you some stuff that I liked from last season too, which is this real tension between law enforcement and everybody else when you're so far away from Earth, because this, like, you, there are cops and they've got armor and they've got weapons, right? But the fact is they're outnumbered a lot,
right?
And there's no backup. So it's a tenuous, like, the community needs to buy into their authority. And in this scene, when they're leading Lee through, everybody that's out on the promenade from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I'll say it gave me strong Babylon 5 Zocalo vibes. Either way, they're walking him through the Zocalo here, and everybody's kind of upset because I think everybody loves Lee. He's the first man on Mars. What a great story.
Big, like you said, they're outnumbered. There's a lot of people, but it's also a reminder that it's not that big a community.
Right.
Like, so you can have a huge chunk of the population in this one space because it's not like there are a ton of other places.
And they know each other.
People to congregate.
And they know
exactly.
Lee.
Everybody knows each other.
And they get upset. And what I think, now maybe this won't lead anywhere, but the kind of stuff that sets me off and makes me want to be a Mars rebel is when the crowd is understandably upset with Lee being led through in his perp walk.
Yeah.
And they immediately say, this is an unlawful assembly. I'm going to arrest everybody here unless you disperse. And it's like, I'm just standing here in the place I live. And you just declared me, my presence, unlawful assembly. Like, it is just, and I don't know. I mean, if the intent, I assume the intent dramatically of that moment is to make us as the audience think, to hell with the Mars peacekeepers.
Yep.
But that's how I felt. Like, these guys suck and I hate them. I know they're the cops, but, like, they're the Mars cops and they're like mall cops. I hate them.
Exactly. Yeah. They have there's a definite, all cops are bad vibe running through parts of this. I think we're supposed to be a little more sympathetic to Boyd, who is kind of the one good cop, right? The one who's like, all the rest of the cops are jerks. It's that much more important that we have one who actually isn't a jerk.
Yeah, because I think this show really does feel like that one of the things it's about is this power dynamic where Earth is trying to inflict its power on Mars and Mars is like, maybe not. And so we get that. And a lot of vibes about that last season. Definitely get vibes in this moment. By the way, Dan, I don't know if you heard this, just in. Helios may have found life on Titan. So, sucks to be Kelly.
Yep. Sorry, Mars ain't the place.
And later in the episode, we get, more about Kelly. Like, it's really interesting. This thread is interesting because it's like, Helios may have found life on Titan. Kelly's really excited because she's into finding life, but it's not on Mars, it's on Titan. And she goes to the Helios guy and says, just this new, I think, new character, and says, we need to, he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to send another probe or whatever. And she's like, no, people need to go out there. We need to go to Titan to find this. And he says, yeah, you're just saying that because you want to go to Titan. Forget it. Bye. Get out. I'm in charge. And he just, like, ignores her and all of that, which leads to, and I'm going to follow this thread here. We'll go back to the rest of it, but I'll follow this thread. Okay, I don't remember everything about this show, right? We don't have the, like, total... I only watched the show once and then talked about it with you, right?
Yeah.
But there's a moment where suddenly it's Kelly, Ed, and Alex. and they're having dinner. And I thought to myself, oh, it's pasta night at the Baldwin's.
It's Parmesan cheese.
It is literally, this is a callback. This is a thread that runs through the show. Pasta night at the Baldwin's.
And
is just
terrible cheese.
It's right, amazing. So if you think back, if you didn't, if that didn't twig for you, dear listener, what a moment to throw back to the whole, you know, decades of this show to go back there. And she's like, look, I just think it's important that people go to Titan. I don't need to go to Titan. And I love that it's like you're with your family. Ed and Alex both just laugh at her. They're come on, Kelly.
Come on. You want to go? And she's like, wait, yeah, I do want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also like, and she's like, well, you know, and this is, I think, the show saying something. This is what this show is. She's like, well, you know, probes are safer. We just send robot probes. It's fine. And Ed's like, being safer sucks. That's why we didn't get to the moon and the Soviet Union did.
Right,
we
got
to be less safe. That's what I need in my space. You should go to Titan. Unfortunately, it's all then kind of like ruined by Ed going on a classic old man, these kids today rant against Alex, which is unfortunate.
Oh, Ed. You couldn't resist. Okay, Boomer. I think it's a great dynamic. I mean, it is a very realistic family dynamic too. I think that is a kind of a great moment, and I love that Alex calls him out and he's like, you could be a real jerk. Only I don't think he says jerk. And I like that this dad then continues with like Kelly going over that guy, that annoying guy whose name I haven't bothered to learn yet.
Yeah,
over his head,
the functionary. Yeah, yeah. She goes to Dev, and she's like, We need to send people to Titan. This is everybody else is going to go there. We need to be first, which appeals to Dev's whole competition thing, right? Which is like, and look, I think this is a great argument to have, right? Which is, do you do what Ed wants, which is you got to leap, you got to take a risk. We're in space. You got to take a risk. And Dev, this is one of those ways that I love the Dev and Ed alignment dynamic, because they are both the same in a way, which is Dev's all in on this nutty space stuff. That's why he's in space now, right? And or on Mars now, which is in space because it's a planet. We established this. So Dev agrees, and he's like, and so she goes over this guy's head to Dev, and Dev's like, yep, we should do a crewed mission to Titan. And he says, but you, functionary dude who's been in charge of all this Titan stuff, you are going to be in command of the mission. And the guy's like, ha ha, eat it, Kelly. And he's like, and Kelly's going to be your pilot. And he's like, what? No, this sucks. No. Yeah. It's like, I love it. I love it because we are headed for a spaceship with two people who hate each other driving it. Amazing. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's get in our car and go to Jupiter. Also, I have to admit, Dan, I don't know what you thought about this. This show is so different from season to season.
Yeah.
I admit being kind of disappointed that it's like, aren't we just going to be on Mars again this season? Because, like, it's just
space.
It's just a drama on the surface of a planet. It's like, I want spaceships blowing up and stuff because it's for all mankind. There should be terrible mistakes that happen in outer space, right?
Right. And what are the risks of going to Titan? And
so,
like, I mean, that's a totally new environment.
Yeah.
And I found
the moment where
I'm thinking,
yeah, Jupiter. That's because I envisioned that season 5 would be Jupiter. Right? Or Saturn.
Right. Well,
like outer solar system.
Outer solar system. Yeah, exactly. Because like Mars feels very, you know, here we are in 2026 and Mars is a thing that we talk about and we send rovers there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But like you start talking about Jupiter, like I don't think anybody's heads in the real world are wrapped around the idea that we would
send people to Jupiter.
Any near term sending people beyond Mars, right?
So I kind of want to see that. And so I'm excited by this development that they might actually do that, because that would be wild space stuff that I think would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind the Mars politics. I think it's very interesting as a science fiction premise, but it is a little House on the Prairie, right?
Well,
where it's like
The backdrop of the show, as you said, has always been about pushing the envelope and about exploring and pushing further. And so, you know, I think having that against these two things can exist together in this show, which is one of the great things about it, is we can talk about the exploration and the science, but we can also deal with the social ramifications of kind of where we are now.
I just want the show to treat I feel like the show's dynamic is there's back home and then there's the people on the edge, and that the show keeps pushing the edge to the moon, to Mars. And in season five, what I feel is Earth and Mars and the moon are back home. And the social dynamics and the politics of what's happening back home and the interaction between Earth and Mars, it's all interesting. But like, I do think For All Mankind loses something if there isn't something that's wild and out there on the frontier. And you could maybe do stories like that on Mars, but saying we're going to go to Titan is like, yes, that is the part that I was missing last week. Honestly, it's like, what's the next wild For All Mankind leap into the unknown that is part of what this show is about? And so we get it here. And again, it's with these two characters who are very he hates her anyway. And she's talked her way into this mission because her Mars thing just isn't panning out. But that's good. That's all good. That's fun stuff. So and that's all we have of that storyline, I think, in Hard Six
this week. Yeah.
But I'm here for it. I'm all in for that. It's great. So Lee, Ed takes off his ankle monitor.
I love that moment. I love that moment where he's like, I want to see Lee. And they're like, nope, you can't see him. He's in the cells. And he's like, all right, send me to the cells.
Yeah. To take off my monitor. What you going to do, smart guy? And it's like, put you in the cell with Lee. Okay. Lee says, I didn't kill him. We fought, but I didn't kill him, which is like, murder, mystery. What is it?
Mystery.
And Ed is like, they need to hold a hearing on you here. You need justice here. And Lee's like, they're just going to send me back. And the North Korean government doesn't like me. And we've seen what happens when people go back. You never hear from them again. They are swallowed by Earth and politics of Earth. And so we get our social dynamic here between Earth power and Mars power, right? Which is Ed, the guy who is tried in absentia, is like, Mars justice only. Like, don't go back. And the problem is, what's that dynamic going to be? And we're going to see in this episode, right? So, the sheriff tells Miles he really doesn't need a riot. So following up on that perp walk kind of thing, and leans on him and says, Miles, how do you think your friends would react? You upstanding businessman, if he heard what you did back in 2003 when you sold out your friends. Remember season 4, everybody?
Yep.
But this is the threat, right? This is the you built a nice life here on Mars. Shame if anything happened to it, says the sheriff, to like keep a lid on all of this. Now, I have a prediction, having seen Miles for a season, which is that he's not going to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It is an interesting dynamic to have with him, right? Because we have this whole, like, he is kind of an upstanding businessman, but also he was a little bit of a shady character for a while there. So he's got a lot of interests at play here, but now he's established and he's got kids here and all this stuff. So he has something to lose, right? In a way that maybe he didn't quite as much early on. And so I'm with you. I don't think it's going to go the way it is. When you turn to blackmail, we're reinforcing our stereotypes about the police force on Mars. Like, they're immediately stepping on people and trying to blackmail them into doing what they want.
You know, in a different context, this would be all kind of on the up and up. You would say, well, it's a small town on the frontier, and the sheriff has to use everything he can in order to keep order, right? You could view it that way, right? That is another narrative here. It's like he's going to use everything he knows to lean on this guy who's got a sketchy past to make sure that he does what he needs him to do to maintain order. I think what the show is more interested in is the idea that you should question the authorities who are trying to maintain order, because whose order are they maintaining?
Right. And to what end, right? Like,
exactly.
Who are they serving?
Right, because there's just the vibe. The Mars peacekeepers have a vibe from the beginning, which is, are they here for us and part of our community, or are they here to superimpose Earth power, to impose Earth power on us? I don't know. Let's see. Dev says he won't help about Lee, but he says he'll make sure he has great lawyers back on Earth. And Ed is like, the North Koreans will kill him.
Kill him, yeah.
So that is a
reminder of Svetlana, who we met, was that last season? Who's one of the she's the one that Ed grows the pot with,
yeah,
her,
yeah.
Writer, and she gets sent back.
She gets sent back.
Yeah, and she dies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because the Russians probably kill her.
Probably kill her. So we also learn, and these two things are intertwined, so I'm going to talk about them both together. We learn that the dead man, the murder victim, worked off book on the surface at night for Kurigan. Now, Kurigan is the other big space contractor that is, yeah, trying to take business away from Helios.
So they got the space elevator contract, we learned.
Yeah, that Dev wanted it, but he didn't get it. Kurigan is going to build that. But this means, like, you're not supposed to work on the surface at night, and he was not officially working for them. So it's like this very much like, okay, so now our investigator, who is our one cop who we're supposed to like, she is starting to be suspicious about this. Like, there's something going on. More on that in a second, because it gets more suspicious the more this episode plays out. Ed's like, Lee saved us in the first Mars mission. It's like, didn't he threaten you with a pistol, and didn't that gun shoot Danielle? It's like, I remember all of this now. Yes, good reminding me, show. Remind me of all the drama that happened. And aren't you wearing that monitor for your criminal actions? And it's like, okay, Ed is like, what can I do here? This is wrong. And they're like, we're not going to listen to you, right? We're not going to listen to you. Now, we could also say, Ed's so convinced that Lee didn't do it. And I'm like, really, Ed? Like, the danger here is you're defending a guy who did do it. But he's like, no, he's my friend. He wouldn't kill anybody. I'm like, okay. He says he didn't do it. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I do enjoy this character. So the governor.
Yes.
Costa Ronan, who plays him, who I saw as a very nasty KGB operative on the last season of Homeland. Mm. He's very good at being just sort of like, he's charming, but also kind of like, he feels like a stuffed shirt, but at the same time, you can see a little bit underneath it. He's a smooth operator, right? He's a politician. We know he's a former cosmonaut, and, you know, so he's well-versed in sort of the you know, nuts and bolts, as it were, but also he is here because he is a politician.
Yes.
And I really enjoy this give and take, and that Ed gets to the point where he gets flustered and we get a bit of an old man episode, because he says Molly at one point, and it took me a heck of a moment to remember Molly, our character who died like 2 years ago,
yeah,
two seasons ago, et cetera. I was like, oh, okay, so Ed is losing a step.
Yeah.
Like, he's not... You know, he's still Ed Baldwin, but he is not the Ed Baldwin we knew,
right,
from years past.
Right. So the governor won't help him. Later, our investigative peacekeeper, I forget her name, but...
Boyd.
Boyd. here are what my notes say. A surprise landing occurs, transferring a box. Now, this is a fascinating scene, because it's like, what does it mean? And what it really means is somebody's doing something out there and not telling anybody. And is it against the rules? I mean, probably. But what is going on? What is being landed? What is being transferred? What's in that box? We don't know. But it just amps up the suspicion, really, of Kurigan, right? Like, what are they doing out there? We know that they were employing this guy off the books and at night when you're not supposed to be out there. And now she notes these surprise landings, and she is our investigator, right? Boyd's like, this is not adding up, right? Like, there things are going on there. She will follow that in a minute. But first, Ed, being Ed Baldwin, does the most Ed Baldwin thing you can, which is like, well, the governor won't help me, so we're going to break Lee out of jail. It's like stealing an asteroid on a smaller scale. We're going to steal, yeah, a guy and take him out of jail.
And he's appealing to all his fellow cronies who are into,
yeah,
Mars liberation. And some of them are like, yeah. And some of them are like, what the hell are you,
yeah,
talking about?
And Miles is like, no. And then he's like, nah. And then it's like, well, if you're with me, stay here. But if you're not, that's okay. You can leave. And lots of people leave, but not all. And I love it when a plan comes together.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a plan together. So Meanwhile, Boyd, the cop, goes to Kerrigan in a nice scene where there's like a receptionist and all, and it's like it's the corporate cold shoulder, and she's like, I am looking for information about the dead guy who supposedly worked for you. And also, I saw this unlogged transfer out on the surface just in the light of day. I saw that. I want to know about that. And they are basically like, we don't know what you're talking about. Just completely stonewall her. I think you're going to regret that.
This is a very Russian Soviet Union KGB moment here they're like, no, we don't do anything at night on the surface because that would be illegal.
Uh-huh. That's right. And keep in mind, they are a Soviet entity that is working here. So Ed's plan, they steal Lee and the guards. The guard shoots Ed's accomplice. So Ed has to fly the hopper. They steal Lee, like, in the hopper. There's airlock shenanigans, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. So they vent the airlock to knock them out, but they're not trying to kill them. But then they wake up and the guard shoots the accomplice, and it's like, it's not great because Ed's got to fly. And as we know from episode one, Ed is not supposed to fly anything.
Yep.
They are headed for the ISN compound. Yeah. This is what was set up with some of those intro videos, at the beginning of episode one and on the YouTube channel, which is the ISN is not the M6 and does not honor any of the, laws of the M6. So there's no extradition is the theory there. And so Ed is flying. He is failing. He is having lots of issues, but he manages to get them there. There is a hopper chase, which is very exciting, because the cops are after him, right? He tells Lee to get suited up, and Lee's like, well, what about you? And he says, don't worry about me. And we end up with Lee running in his suit into the base at the ISN compound, and they can't get him. And Ed back in, they go into the hopper back there, and Ed is unconscious at the controls, which my question is, so is that a wrap on Ed Baldwin?
Is Ed dead?
My guess is no, because they would have said he was dead. I think maybe he's just unconscious, but maybe he's dying. I don't know. Maybe this would, what a way to go out if he breaks Lee out as his last act. I think that would actually be a kind of amazing way for him to go out. But yeah, we don't know because the episode ends right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not convinced that he's dead, but I don't think he is long for this world.
No, so, I don't think he's making it to episode 10. But
no,
maybe.
I don't think so either.
I mean, it's for all maybe. Mankind. But I didn't think he'd make it to episode 5, or season 5, but here we are.
Oh, man. In episode 10, Jason, they unveil the robotic Ed Baldwin that they've replaced him with.
Sure, it's a hologram of Ed.
Joel Kinnaman needs the work.
So, I complained about last episode being, a lot of setup, a lot of prep. And this episode, they're still doing a lot of prep, but they're also starting to knock over some dominoes.
Yeah.
And I like that better. I really
going to Titan. We're investigating a murder.
Yeah. And
there's tension.
You get your big tense action scene at the end where there's a car chase, except it's with hoppers on Mars, which again, is this just kind of it's just a breakout, right? Except it's on Mars. And so that makes it way more interesting.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of energy there. It felt very kinetic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of little things in this episode that I liked. I really enjoyed. There's a scene with the kids again. So the remaining three kids, Alex and Lily and the Russian girl, and they're talking about whether or not Lee could have done this. And the Russian girl's like, oh, totally. He could totally do this. Like, I don't trust him at all. And they're like, but by that logic, you don't trust anyone. And she just says, welcome to the Soviet Union, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
And we also have this sort of undercurrent, too, with Alex. Alex has a crush on Lily and wants to ask her out, but doesn't really know because he's an awkward teen.
Because his friend last week just said, before he goes to Earth, he's like, just hook up with Lily. Okay.
Yeah.
Where you can.
And this is going to be against the backdrop of some sort of pending revolution, I guess.
I guess maybe. Also, let's not forget this dynamic. We haven't seen really anything about the ISN compound that Lee is going into. And I don't know whether we're going to go there or not. But like, that's interesting because then you've got tension on the surface of Mars, where you've got, I mean, which was probably already there, but like when they take in an accused murderer and say you can't have him, presumably,
right?
Like that means
diplomacy
that now,
or like who is responsible? Who's running these things? Right? And do they have to talk back?
Is it
Earth?
Yeah. So that's a question.
I don't know if we even know. Do we even know which nations are in ISN?
I don't know.
I'm not sure it's been spelled out, because we know the M6 is Europe, India, Japan, Soviet Union, U.S., and then the, I always have to look
like
this
Brazil?
One up. It's actually the Coalition of Communist Countries for Spaceflight.
Oh, boy.
Which is a bunch of the smaller, it's like Bulgaria, Cuba, Czechoslovakia, East Germany,
okay,
Egypt,
so,
Greece,
so maybe
Hungary.
It's like Brazil, yeah, and Pakistan. And
I think it might be China is not, I think, in the M6.
Right.
And then they mentioned, at least in the footnotes of the very helpful For All Mankind wiki, Canada and China remained independent to pursue their own priorities in space. It's the Canadians, Jason.
Hmm. Maybe so.
So, and it's also, we'll there's see. A certain degree of irony for this too, right? Because Lee was given asylum from North Korea at Happy Valley, and now right. he has had to claim asylum from
the M6.
The M6 in the ISN.
Yeah.
Which is real awkward.
Maybe he should go to Jupiter.
Yeah. That's, well, maybe he's going to be a crater to Jupiter.
A crater. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts about this that you want to mention?
No, just that, as you said, I like it. It's getting, the focus is narrowed a bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. We basically spend no time on Earth in this episode
right.
at all.
Right.
I'm kind of curious because they spent a lot of time setting up the new political administration back at home with Bragg and everything. And I'm kind of curious to see if that's going to now enter it more as we have to resolve these tensions between the M6 and ISN, right? Like, is that going to translate to a larger political fracture on Earth, especially against the backdrop of all the economic stuff that we have heard about as well, with like, oh, they've all got iridium and like, if you don't have iridium, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
So
you need it for stuff.
Yeah. I'm very much interested to see how that continues to develop, but we've got a lot of balls in the air here.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious to see what gets focused on next.
But this feels very much like, you know, a lot of these seasons have started with a bang, and I think episode one did not.
Yes.
But here we get a little bit of a bang with a big chase at the end of the episode. And this feels like, you know, we're in it now. We are rolling with For All Mankind with this episode. So that's great. I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Excited.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week with another episode of the NASA Vending Machine, talking about episode 3 of season 5, because we like to do this sequentially. Episode 3 is called Home. So we'll go home next week. I wonder what home is it, Dan?
Well,
what home? Yeah. Who's home? Exactly. Maybe it's the ISN compound and Lee is a visitor. I don't know. We don't know. Maybe it's the moon. What's happening on the moon? I think people
what
are bored of
the moon
now. Sport of the moon.
So passe.
Whatever. Moon. Anyway, we will be back with more about For All Mankind next time. But until then, dos vidanya, Dan.
Dos vidanya, Jason.